We all have these terrible stories to get over, and you...
It's not true. Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. What makes it so hard is not that you had it bad, but that you're that pissed that so many others had it good.
No.
And that is envy. That describes envy when it's not that you want to focus on the good in your life, but you really want to play the pity card so that people who do focus on the better things in their life, even if they have bumps in the road, feel badly when they're around you. And that is not a way to connect. If you find that you are envious, if you find that you are wanting to tear people down, notice that the first victim is yourself. You've already torn yourself down. You're not allowing yourself to experience the better parts of your own life, and you're not going to work to make them better if you have a vested interest in tearing yourself down. So envy is an emotion that is very common, of course, jealousy, envy. Sometimes we mean it in a positive sense, meaning, I'm so envious of you. You know, I want to be able to learn cha-cha-cha too. And it's a fun thing. They don't mean it, I want to tear you down, or I'm jealous of you, I want to get my hair done too. Go get your hair done. You know, it's fun. That's just wanting the positive value. If you're thinking, I want to tear this person down, I don't want to let them feel good about what they've achieved, then really start tending to yourself. Start focusing on what's going well in your own life and listen very carefully to what you want, your values done right. Not your values at the expense of others, but your values that you've earned, because that will build self-esteem. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness, and that movie drop was from As Good As It Gets. I am a clinical psychologist. I'm here to take your calls and questions on any concerns you have. Maybe it's with a coworker, or with friends, or with your kids, or with a boss, with your aging parents, or with yourself. Pick up the phone and give me a call toll-free, 1-877. You can write it down, 1-877-DR-KENNER, D-R-K-E-N-N-E-R. And you can also visit my website, drkenner.com, where I have books I recommend and articles that I've written and podcasts you can listen to, and even a book that I wrote along with Dr. Ed Locke on romance. You can check that out. Again, toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. And right now I want to welcome Mary to the show. Mary, your friend's husband is driving her crazy?
Yes.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, he seems to have a problem with smells and noises. He doesn't want anything that smells around. He has a fit if she uses shampoo, you know, that has a smell.
Yeah.
Oranges, candles. He wants nothing around that smells and just has an absolute fit. And he, you know, he doesn't even want her vacuuming the carpet because of the noise.
Is there a medical problem that he has? No. Where there's like has he been to a medical doctor? Maybe he's got an increased sensitivity. I don't know if you've probably had an operation. You come out of anesthesia and the lights go on and they seem so bright and they hurt your eyes.
Well, I haven't had surgery.
So no. Oh, okay. Oh, wonderful. But, you know, sometimes people can have a sensitivity, and sometimes it has nothing to do with smells or noises or an increased sensitivity. Guess what it has to do with?
I don't know.
You're irritated with the partner. And it's coming out in really passive-aggressive ways. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You know him better. And the first thing, if it seems genuine, I would definitely want to have, you know, for him to have a medical checkup just to rule out the fact that there might be something wrong with his senses.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes people have unusual experiences that are not mystical at all. They just have maybe a little brain damage, or there's some biochemical problem that they have. But you know him. Do you think that if I put a steak in front of him or lamb chops, how do you think he'd react?
I have no idea. I really don't know him that well.
Yeah.
I'm basically, you know, her friend.
Yeah.
And he seems to be pretty much, you know, a loner. I mean, you know, if you go to your house, you feel very uncomfortable, like, okay, you've got 30 minutes and get out, you know.
So he doesn't warm up to you?
Oh, no. To anyone.
What do you know about him?
Well, he's retired, and basically, you know, seems to me like he just stays home and doesn't have friends or anything, you know, to do anything with.
Okay.
It just seems to me make her life miserable. I couldn't take it, you know.
So you would divorce. You would
say
sayonara.
I'd say adios.
And then you would, I love it, adios, and then you'd go celebrate.
Yeah, yeah, I have told her before, I think he knows this irritates you, and so he's going to do it.
So he's retired, and he doesn't have any purpose in his life, nothing to keep his mind alive?
I don't, you know, he does some woodwork thing, but, you know, that's just very little. And
woodwork smells, I love the smell of it.
Pardon me?
Woodwork smells. Wood smells.
Yeah. I don't know. This is just,
and you know. Certainly if you're doing woodwork, you're going to make a little noise.
Yeah.
So I don't know where.
Well, he carves, so.
Oh, so it's a quiet woodworking.
Yeah.
Okay. But you have ears for a reason and you have a nose for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he didn't like the noise, he could certainly get earmuffs and wear them around the house.
I suggested to her, you know, for Christmas, you know, earplugs, but she said he already has them.
Yeah, the problem is, I don't think that's the problem.
If he
is older, I don't know. You say he's retired. I don't know if he's in his...
I think he's probably like 70.
And she's how old?
She's going to be 67.
Okay. How long have they been married?
A long time.
Oh, so why is she just complaining now?
Well, I don't know that it's just now, but she complains to me. You know.
Oh, well, then that's a friendship issue. If I had a friend who constantly said, you know something, I've got a splinter in my foot and my foot's really hurting me, what would you think I would say to the friend?
Take it out.
Oh, no, I don't think I can. And then I see them the next time and they say, I got a splinter in my foot. Oh, my God, look at it. It's infected now. Doesn't it look bad?
Uh-huh.
What do you want to say to them?
Well, I have said leave or tell him to leave.
Right. And at that age, they don't want to, or the finances
are tight. No, she can't afford to, which she could financially.
Right. So would she go to counseling? Would she get, you know, have somebody pry? I don't mean because she's got problems. Well, she does, it sounds like, if she's unhappily married.
Uh-huh.
I mean more to help her do her own thinking with some guidance from a therapist or a counselor. Would she consider that?
I doubt if she would, but I could suggest it.
Yeah, that would be great. She could even go to a cognitive therapist. It's an odd name, but it just means a thinking therapist. There's a website, academyofct.org.
It's what?
Academy of CT, all one word, .org. And you can find a website in your neck of the woods. The other thing is, you know, I've worked with older couples, and sometimes they'll come in and one will, they're just beating up on each other. Don't turn up the heat. Well, I don't want you to turn on that radio. And, and you know, the years and decades of anger is built up so that it's really, really painful to live in that climate, in that house.
Yeah.
And so the question is, is she a good friend for you? You know, is she someone that you can relate to? And if you share other issues, that's fine. If she keeps bringing up the husband but doesn't want to do anything about it, you can just mention that point that, you know, it sounds like you've been happily unmarried for a long time, and it sounds like that's not going to change. Let's talk about something that, you know, we both enjoy, whether it's knitting or reading or, I don't know, whatever you guys, what do you enjoy doing together?
Well, we both do crafts. see.
Oh, then enjoy the crafts, but just take her off the topic of her husband if it keeps going there and nothing can change, because you're not going to change her. You can give her suggestions, and you can then segue it to a conversation that you're at home with. Listen, thank you so much for the call, Mary.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness, toll free, 1-877-DR-KENNER.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Dr. Ellen Kenner.
If your partner just doesn't talk or want to listen, even after repeated attempts to communicate, they might have narcissistic tendencies, such as holding the premise that you are supposed to listen, but not vice versa, a one-way street relationship. Such a partner will never make an ideal soulmate for anyone. Partners also fail to communicate because they are trying to hide their true or deepest selves. They may fear something about themselves, or perhaps they have no authentic selves. Your partner may not talk much simply due to shyness. You can do a lot to bring your partner out of his or her shell by being warm, open, and encouraging. Another reason that your partner doesn't make communication a conscious priority is that he or she may not consider you important. Translation, your partner does not really love you, a painful discovery.
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.